Yes, Lord. God, we just want to start and say, we repent for not fearing your name. For not understanding that Jesus, if it weren't for you, we were on our way to hell forever. But Jesus, you tore the veil and you made a way. So Father, we just want to come say tonight, we want to honor your name. If you want God tonight to come and teach you from this moment on what it means to fear and honor his name, I want you to quickly just stretch out your hands to him. Jesus, come and teach us. Lord, we're intellectual, our pride, our things get in the way of honoring you. But Jesus, teach us how to fear your name. You're such a good God. We love you. And all God-fearing people said, amen. Amen. My name is Mariette. I grew up on a farm, it's near Cape Town. If you're from the Cape, you say it's near Paul. Grew up knowing that Jesus is the truth, but the first time I declared that Jesus must not be something I believe in, because salvation is only available if we are reconciled to the Father through Jesus, a relationship with him. So the first time I declared that I want Jesus as the Lord of my life, I was in high school, very hungry for God, but didn't have the opportunities that you have now to sit under discipleship and sit under his word. So backslid, grew a little, got filled with God's Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit when I was 16, because God was gracious and I was very hungry for him. I didn't know it at the time. I just became really bold in my high school. And when I studied a year in Pretoria's Technikon, musical theater, and then I went to go study drama at Stellenbosch. And I was so excited about Stellenbosch for two reasons after my Pretoria year. Because I was excited to work at the radio station there. And I was excited because I could choose a church. I could go to anywhere where I could feel the Lord and hear him. And then when I joined Godly Community, my life changed around completely. And I wish in a perfect world we had 6 hours now and just one of them. I could tell you of the depression that he healed me. I could tell you of the rejection, serious rejection issues. Shared a little bit with the girls chat on Friday. How God came to heal me. Was on antidepressants for 4 years. And I was on 3 times the dosage of when I started, when God delivered me. Just the power of the Father in the Father's house. In Godly Community. So that's me. Oh, wait, what did I do after that? I studied, and then I went to work for Shofar in Cape Town in the city, the CBD. I worked there for a few years. Then I went for 2.5 years and started a business where I did flowers and functions for weddings in another town. And then 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to start to serve and work at the student ministry of Shofar in Stellenbosch. So lots and lots of student ministry love from Stellenbosch straight to you guys. Can I just tell you, on Wednesday night, I lay in my bed. Like, we arrived on Wednesday afternoon. So Wednesday night, I'm in my bed. I'm like, Lord, how am I going to say goodbye on Monday? Because God is just showing me, like, who he's busy raising up here. And you guys, it's scary for the enemy to see the way that you guys are starting to say yes to flat out Jesus. The way you guys are starting to understand that the res and the place you're studying and the place you stay, you are there to be his ambassador for the kingdom of heaven to come in a crazy strong way. So I'm so excited for what God is doing here, but I'm very much more excited for the fact that in a little while we can't have church here because our friends are just going to get saved and we're not going to fit. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's power and agreement. So you guys, I want to share with you as easy as ABC, 1, 2, 3. There are many like basic blocks, building blocks of the kingdom of heaven. But these are three that a little while ago, God was sharing and speaking to me about. And I was sharing to people with regards to this. And I want to come share it with you guys tonight. So number one, the A, just want to share with you guys is, a lot of us know, some of us don't know this, but I just like want to start very basic. God made Adam and Eve. There wasn't a loud banging sound. The Lord, God, made Adam and Eve. He made the world. And then Adam and Eve were really close and tight with the Lord. They were walking together. They were hearing his voice. They were speaking like we're chatting now. Just much more glorious. And then Adam and Eve decided to submit under Satan. when they ate of the tree with the fruit that God says, don't do this. And then they said, okay, cool, but we're going to submit under this. And then they gave authority over to Satan when they submitted under him. Because obviously if I'm submitted under your pastor, your awesome pastor, that's super humble, I hope you appreciate him. When I submit under Alistair, when I submit under him, what is he? He's my authority. When I rebel against him and I submit under somebody that's against what he's doing, under whose authority am I? The other person. So what happened is we get born in this world. Our spirit is dead because we, the first man, has submitted under the authority of the world. Okay? So many times we think, yeah, God, bless me. Give me this. Give me that. When will you give this? But we don't understand that the only thing we deserve is eternal separation from God. Because that's what we get born into. Do you know what that is? That's hell. We deserve hell. But God is so good and he clearly communicates if we go seek him in his word. He says in his word, I did not design hell for man. It was made for Satan and his followers. So that's why God said, I do not desire that you be separated from me, because I made you so we could walk in that glory and intimacy. So what did he do? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, that forever, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is Lord and they confess it with their mouths and they believe with their heart that Christ, that the Lord raised him from the dead, will be saved and reconciled with the Father. So you guys, that's why earlier we were singing, you tore the veil. Christ who tore the veil for us all. That separation, that veil between us and God, the only one who could tear it was Jesus. And you know what? It wasn't easy for him. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't blessed like we think blessings are. It was really tough. He even said to God, can I please not do this? That's how tough it was. Then he said, but still, God, not my will, but yours. So you guys, Jesus says in the word, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So can I tell you something? He looks at you, he looks at me, and he says, he sees joy. Right now where you're at, with all your issues and all your great stuff and everything. He said, because of the joy set before me, he endured that cross. So he made that way of reconciliation. So guys, that's why we praise him, because he's worthy and because he is the one that has reconciled us with the Father. And when we struggle to praise him, it's just because maybe you don't know that yet. And that's okay, but tonight God wants to open up eyes. He wants to open up hearts, because he's not about right and wrong. Ooh, hierdie reeltjies, reg verkeerd, you know, ooh, bad and good. He's about life and death. Because we are born into death. And he says, yo, I long for you to walk in life. That's why I sent my son Jesus. So the whole word of God is full of instructions. All of it, if you follow it, it will lead to life. So point number A, the A we're talking about, is the world the whole time says, no, man, that's just like Christianity is a cute philosophy. It, you know, it started in this and this time. Yeah, it's like people that worship this Jesus, but very intolerant. Shoot, very uninclusive. You know, inclusivity, the new buzzword. But you guys, can I tell you, the truth is, there's just two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness. And you're either for the one or you're for the other one. But now with the world, all the movies, the songs, go listen to the songs, go check the movies, go check the magazines, the series, whatever. The whole time it's saying, no, I'm not for or against God. I'm just rustig. I'm like free love. I'm into yoga. And I'm just into like goodness. And just these Christians, I wish they could be more tolerant. Like me, I'm so full of love. The enemy knows this, that he cannot just create something new. So he takes the truth and he perverts it. He says grace is when we just keep on turning our back on God. We keep on sinning, even though we know Jesus. You know what God says grace is? Grace is you look at that sin, you look at Jesus, you say, I choose you. You are my master. Porn, you will not be my master. Lust, you will not be my master. Desiring for the world to think I'm okay, you will not be my master. God, you will be my master. I want to know what you think. I want to hear what you say, and I want to speak it over other people. So you guys, there's only three options, A, B, and C. You know what C does? It reverts right back to B. So there's two options. There's heaven and hell, and we're either running for the one or you're running for the other one. And I've got bad news because the world is telling you, no, I'm just rustic. I'll start, you know, following God flat out. I just want my studies to be done, you know, because then I'm going to have more time. Ask people that are married with kids if your time increases. Good timing. Amen, brother. And people with kids, maybe the enemy's saying, no, you're going to start living flat out for Jesus as soon as the kids are a little bigger. And when the kids with, you know, bigger kids, the enemy can just be like, no, I need to focus. I need to serve and build my family. You know, it's godly. We have to serve the family first. But you guys, there's a fight, like Adam's, my friend, was sharing tonight, for you to step away from God, to not live flat out for Him. But the fight has been overcome. The enemy has been overcome. We've been singing about the whole night. But you know where the fight is now? It's with our flesh. We need to decide who will be my master. Sin in the world or Jesus? That's the fight now. Like all of these things that keep us back, all the lies, all the... No. It's just eat, pray, love. It's like, new, find myself in India and da, 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 da. Those are strategic moves of the enemy to tell you that there is an option C. Because he knows option C reverts right back to option B. Because God says in His word in Luke 11:23, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Whoever does not cheer on my sheepies, my kids. Whoever does not say, come on, you guys, let's serve God. Come on, I want to encourage you. Come on, I want to love on you. What's your need? Is it a chocolate? Okay, I'll get it for you. What's your need? Is it a high five? Is it a prayer for your studies? What's your need? I want to gather. I want to love on you. I want to serve you. I want you to be encouraged. God says, you're encouraging His sheep or you're scattering them. You're gathering together or you're scattering them. What great news, because we are sitting here and we are all gathered saying, Jesus, we want to get to know you more. The other thing I want to mention, amen, is that in Matthew 7, the world enemy loves saying, no man, it's fine, just believe in Jesus. Did you guys know that I believe in Barack Obama? I truly believe he is a man, that he's alive, he's a president of America. I don't think they make that up. Do I know him? Does he know me? Never heard of me. You guys, scripture says that devils, the demons, they also believe in God and they tremble. But Jesus has this desire for you not to believe in Him, but to know Him. From that believing in Him, walking in this relationship where you are talking to Him, He's talking to you. That's God's desire. Like, He's not like, oh, if you become this or this or this type of Christian. God is saying, everybody, I died for everybody to be reconciled. And how do we get that reconciliation? Relationship with Jesus as a Savior. So Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So guys, you can give your life to Jesus, get filled up with the Holy Spirit, and start operating in the gifts. Because the gifts of the Spirit, we pray, demons have to leave, healings, all those amazing things. You have to desire the gifts, the word says. And then you can turn your back on Jesus. It says so in Scripture, that you could have done these things. But God says, my heart's desire, it's great that you serve the body through these gifts, but my desire, I want to know you. I want you to know me. God has this longing desire to speak to you. Can I tell you that? Through dreams, through visions, through still small voice that pops into your heart when you speak to Him. He's got a desire to speak to you through His word. He wants to speak through you, to you through these friends sitting next to you. He wants to speak through you to these friends. And God says the only what you need to do, you know, to receive, to hear that, is to receive Him as Savior. That's it. That's God's heart desire. So you guys, option A, we were just talking now about the basic truth that there are two kingdoms. And the only way we can enter into the kingdom of heaven is reconciliation with God through whom? Jesus Christ. Not just believing, but entering into that place of walking in this relationship. The other day I was in Dubai airport and I was praying before and I was like, Lord, please, I've got an 8-hour stopover. You have to use me. I know there are people that are broken there. 8 hours, how glorious is that? Please, you have to use me. I was desperate. I'm like, please don't let me, because of my selfishness, of tiredness or whatever, like, miss it. You have to use me. Okay. So, God really ministered to this one girl, blessed my skriklik, and then there was another dude, and we started chatting. He was very courteous, like, women need a heart, and we were walking to the same terminals. After a while, I'm like, sorry, where are you from? And he's like, South Africa. And I was like, Exemos, I could see, because he's such a gentleman, and I thought, you must be from my country. Anyway, so we started chatting, and but now understand that beforehand, I desperately said to God, you must please let the kingdom of heaven come through me in Dubai, because this is my gap. So the conversation goes from this to that to that to that to that, and but now we're laughing and we're joking, and he's like, "Off!" But the whole time, at a stage, he asked me, "What do you do?" I'm like, "No, I work at student ministry at my church." And he's like, "Are you serious?" And I'm like, "Yes." And he's like, "Don't lie." And he's like, "No, but you don't look like that type." And I was just honest. I said, "No, you just don't know any lekker saved people." He's like, no. Anyway, we were like fighting, arguing for another 20 minutes. The more we chatted, because I was just loving on him. He's married with kids. I was interested in him like the Lord is interested in him. I was just chatting to him, hearing where his heart is. So at a stage, he says to me, but he doesn't believe, but he is open. So I sit there and I'm like, Holy Spirit, while I'm listening to him, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, you show me now. What is this? How do you want to speak to him? So I say to him, my friend, I don't believe in God because it's a cool philosophy and I think it would please my parents or something. They were like, they had to get used to me in a church that, you know, like, believes that every day is a Jesus day. But I believe in God because I speak to him, he speaks back to me, and because of these conversations, things in the physical change. And then I was like, testimony. And then I gave him like this hardcore testimony. I'm like, that's the only thing I could get. And I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, this, I'm going to give this about, shucks, what's going on? I can't hear my testimony. Marie Loebscher, Facebook inbox me if you want to hear the crazy testimony about my dad. I got that healed when Lord spoke to me how to pray. Because God wants to teach us how to pray so that things will shift. Okay, like, here's it in like 2 seconds. My dad was sick. He was on ventilators, breathing for him for 13 days. He was also sedated. And the Holy Spirit, the one day said, stop praying against sickness. You need to pray against the spirit of death. And I'm like, okay, Lord. And then I'll let my friends know that are praying and fasting with me. And the next night, my mom dreams that my dad wants to go to heaven. So I'm like, okay, I heard correctly. And then I prayed fervently. And we were praying and fasting for 3 days. And 2 weeks later after that, my dad was back on a combine harvester with my mom and me going, what didn't you know, Poppy, with Afklam? And he was just like so glad to be out of hospital. So that is who Jesus is. Much grayer and much skinnier, but the Buddha boop was still there anyway, and he's on the combine harvester, and we're like, Afklam do afni. Anyway, but that is who Jesus is. That is who Jesus is, you guys. He's got a design to speak to you and me so that we will pray inside of his will, so the kingdom will come in our family and in our friends' family's life. Okay, point number B. What's the biblical definition of full-time ministry? And for a lack of a better word, the Western Church, I don't know what the East does, we speak about full-time ministry. That's when you have the privilege to do admin. Okay? Or you don't do any man. Jesus, where is it? Good night, no, I'm joking, you didn't answer. You guys, the enemy lies to us and tells us there are certain people that are in full-time ministry, and there's people who are not in full-time ministry. But let's look at what Scripture says. Matthew 4:19. And then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So according to Jesus, if we follow him, we will become fishers of men. So according to Jesus, the only people that are not supposed to fish for men are the people that are what? Not following him, right? You're a clever bunch, you skitting your kop, right? Then why do we think some people must follow him and fish for men and others must not? I know why, because the enemy comes to lie to us, because Christ did not come from the Father. So you guys, the only people that are not in full-time ministry according to scripture are the unsaved. People in occult, people in Satanism, people in lots of isms. So I want to bring you the good news and say that the gifts that you have, the ability you have to make delicious tea, God wants to use that to make people feel at home so they can know the love of the Father. The ability you have to run farther than 5 kilometers at a slag, which I cannot yet do, but I'm like, it's a goal in my life. No, I'm like 10Ks on end, that's my goal, my long-term goal. I can't do that, so I can't invite friends that love running for a run, but you can. The gifts that God needs, the tools that you need to let kingdom of heaven come in your res, in your classroom, in your home, in the street where you live, in your workplace. You already have it. But we need to decide, God, am I going to fish for men? Yes or no? Because Lord, am I following you? Am I following you? Am I hearing your heartbeat? Because God says, when we start following him, we will fish for men. So the good news is that God, if you not yet know that you should be fishing for men, you know, that you should be loving on people, inviting them to your home, inviting them to small group, to Encounter One, to a Coffee's outreach, to Sunday morning church. If they've got a like spit or eat in the evening, bring them to the morning, bring them to the evening. If you not know that you must fish for men, that's why we're here, so it's really good. It's fine. God has grace on us. He wants us to open up our eyes, but we can only do that if we come to him and say, Lord, you come and open up my eyes, because we can't do that by ourselves. And that's the good news, that we need Jesus to see. Luke 11:23, again, what we said. How do I know this is true, that everybody's in full-time ministry that stick up the hand for salvation? Luke 11:23. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Okay, so there's the church part, ne? We do a lot of admin there, and what we do is, according to scripture, we should be doing is we are equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. So we are equipping you to do the work of the ministry in your school, your home, your place, your Facebook, your social media, your res, your classroom, your workplace. We are equipping you to do the work of Jesus there. Because I can't reach out in your res. Like, I can't build relationship with your neighbor. I can't build relationship with that person that is always sulky when you see them. I can't go to them and say, my friend, how are you doing? Instead of thinking, yeah, why your lip, what? But that thing of saying, Lord, I want to start seeing people through your eyes. Maybe somebody's sulky because they're going through a hectic time. And God is desiring to encourage them through you. But we need to start saying, God, show me the people around me through your eyes. Because I need to start seeing that there is not onbeskoffing vriendelijk. There's not rude and kind. There's broken in this hole. And you guys, when we understand that, people that out of a place of brokenness speak down at you, want to attack you verbally, you will not be intimidated. But your heart will go soft for that person. And you'll think, you're speaking to me mean. It must be really hurting inside. Jesus, you better give me strategy because this person's in my life so I can lead them to Christ. Because if we follow Jesus, we will be fishing for men. All authority, like all platforms that we ever get in our life, whether you're a prefect in grade 2, whether you're standing here, whether it's your social media platform, whether it's the workplace, whether you're married with kids and that you've got this home, whether it is in the classroom, all platforms that we have ever, all of them are always, they are from God. And they are for God, because God says all authority is from him. So all authority, all platforms that you get, my friend, listen, they are of God, but they are for God. But the thing is, he is a gentleman. He will not push or force anything on anyone. He's saying the whole time, cheering you on, saying, come, my child, come to me. I want to teach you how to fish for men at that platform. Because you guys, one day, every one of us, everyone that's not here tonight, we're going to give account to God. What did we do with our platforms? It's my favorite thing to do. A few years back, when I think I had more Saturdays off or something, why did I watch the rugby? Then it was my favorite was the end of the game to see the captain and the man of the match if they would bring glory to God. is my favorite. And my dad would be like, no, 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 they're going to talk, sit it off. And then I'm like, no, no, dad, it's the best part. And then my spirit would jump up because I know how many young South Africans and people are just sitting, listening now, and they're hearing this guy just saying, I just want to give all glory to God. You guys, that guy understands that he's not playing rugby because there's not enough balls in the world and we must chase it. He's playing it. That man understands he's playing it because he wants to bring who glory via his platform? Jesus Christ, the Lord. And whether you have a beauty salon, a hair salon one day, and whether you make delicious soup one day, you will understand if you're following Jesus that his heart is beating for these people and this platform is to invite people in and share the good news of who Jesus is. The last point I want to share is just... C is just Christ-centered community or church or the body of Christ, whatever you want to call it. That's all the same. And the enemy really like fights, like Adams was sharing tonight, to get you away from that place of like being in his community, of following him. And it's actually become quite trendy to speak against church, to diss it, to speak down on it. I hear it often. And unfortunately, not just from outside, but inside the church, speaking down at church, speaking down on one another. A friend of mine who's quite prophetic, she's an intercessor, so God will give a dream so she knows what to pray, had a dream that on the walls, which is you can go read in scripture, the walls Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. If you haven't read it, it's short and awesome. Please go read it. God speaks about rebuilding the walls of his house, of his people, of who he is. So my friend had a dream where she was standing on the wall of like, you know, us, where the bride of Christ, where the body. And arrows were being shot from the outside, but also from the inside. So people that are in church, in the body, but they don't yet understand. And when we speak ill and we speak down and we speak bad of our leaders, our brothers and our sisters, our people here, we are shooting arrows literally into their backs. And you guys, we need to repent because Jesus is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. And he wants to come make us whole. But we need to be willing to say, God, if the words of my mouth is not going to build up another person, I will not speak them. In Psalm 92, verse 13 to 15, it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, I love this, shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare, why will they be fresh and flourishing? Why? So people go, oh, you're so fresh and flourishing. No. God says, if we are planted in his house, we will be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. You guys, there is power to stick to the body. But can I tell you, this very beautiful body here are going to offend you. They're going to drop you. They're going to disappoint you. There's going to be a time where you're going to really need prayer from a friend and they're going to be so focused on their nails and hair and whatever it is. I don't know what it is. And they will drop you. And you're going to have to fight for that relationship. I know this because I'm speaking about me and my 12 years that I'm in the shofar body. There's been times where I've been angry with leaders where I thought, why? How could you say such a rude thing? That's so rude and you're a leader. You should know better. Accusations from my heart to them. And then each time God would come to me and say, my friend, Jesus died for the unity of the body. You need to forgive the way that God has forgiven you. And you need to fight for the unity. Listen to the scripture in Ephesians 4 verse 3. It says how make every effort to keep the unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. There's another scripture that says that we must actually fight for unity of the body of Christ. We must put a fight. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to have to die to self. Sometimes you're going to be in the wrong and you're going to go and you wash that person's feet. If that is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because tomorrow there's another arrow coming your way and then you need that booty of sissy to have your back. So you guys, I want to encourage you. It's very trendy for people to say, our church, we are the church because I belong to God and that's all what it's about. But Jesus clearly, like other scriptures also says that if we plant it in his house, it will be well with us. But also God says that He is the head, and the body is, you know, that's the rest of who someone is. And we cannot say, "Ooh, I'm mad about your head. It's gorgeous, but your body, now I want to have nothing to do with it." So we cannot say that we have a heart for Jesus, but we don't have a heart for his body, because he died for the bride. He's coming back for the bride. He's coming back for the church. And I'm sorry that there are some of you, you've got anger and you've got hurt towards the church. But my friend, you need to go sort that out with God. Because God says if he comes back now and there's unforgiveness in our heart, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So don't only for salvation's sake, but for right now, don't miss out on what God has for you. And then maybe you're sitting here and you're new in church and you're like, "This place is awesome, Mariette, the church where you are stuck, because this place is amazing. This will never happen." It's going to happen because we're human and we're fallible. And that brings me to my like second last point. I love this. Okay. Are there any doctors in the house? Okay. So you're going to help and say if I lie or not. Okay. Are you nervous? Do you have Google with you? Okay. So here's a patient. He's lying here. Can I get a volunteer, please? Any patient volunteer? Yes, Philip! Got a gorgeous hospital bed for you there, flowers. But it's to get well flowers. Lie here. Okay. Yes. Okay. Just rest up. So here's Philip, and I am the doctor, eh? But Philip is super duper sick. He needs open heart surgery. It's a crisis time. It's like, really, it's the last day of this man's life, and if he doesn't get it now, it's the end. Now, here comes the doctor, and I'm like, "Okay, cool, nurse, instruments." And I say, "Okay, is that right? Do you still do that? I watched ER last week, so it was." Anyway, so you're like, "Nurse, instruments," and you're really nervous because, like, time's running out. And the first instrument you grab, the knife, it's rusted. And you're like, "Oh my word, what? But there's no time, and you have to do this because you have to decide if this man's life is on the line, if it's serious or not. So you're cutting here with a rusted knife, and then you're like, "Can I get a little scalpel?" And they give it to you, and the instrument is bent around like a little U-shape. And you're like, "What? Oh my goodness, this is so hectic." And now you're like working ching-ching-a-ling-ching-ching with this thing. And then the next thing they say, "Can I please get the needle and the thread?" And guess what's growing on it? Mold. And you're like, "Oh my word, but we have to." And I use this needle and the thread, and you do your thing, nay, on the knee. Okay. So you do this operation, and it's hectic. It's about life and death. And you use these muff sticking instruments. And guess what happens 2 days later? Hy spring lewendig gesond. And he goes to his seat. Give him a round of applause. You guys, God is the perfect physician, the perfect doctor. And in our lives, it's situations of life and death. And he's saying, "I am so more than okay with your brokenness as my instruments. Because guess who's going to do the perfect work through the imperfect instruments? He is." So he longs and he desires to use myth and broken and rusted instruments. Because guess what? He doesn't need perfect instruments, for he is perfect. And that's why, you guys, with regards to salvation, the growing of the body, all of it, all of the glory will always be his. Because our Father comes and he uses these, he's perfect and the imperfection, he uses it. And guess what he does? A perfect work. Because if I start telling you of what God has done in my life and the like, perfect works that he has done and the many things he's still busy, and you look at your life and you say, "Lord, would you remind me where I was and where I am now?" You will realize that God does a perfect work. So the enemy fights and he says, no, look at this church, look at this leader, look at that person, look at the affinity. You guys, what I ask myself when I see something that's not so lekker legit in somebody who I look up to, now I spend a lot of time, I see this, you know what I ask myself? What can they see in me? So I just have grace for them because I know that they have grace for me. You guys, we need to stop fighting for the unity instead of being comparative, instead of being jealous, playing right into the enemy's hand. We need to be instruments for God's glory. And when we're instruments of jealousy and being compared, we are still instruments just for the world and the enemy. But when we are instruments of saying, "I don't care what I feel or see, I will speak life, I will encourage you, I will celebrate you. I'm in love with a guy for 10 years, you date him, I'll buy you both a cake. Because I will build up the body of God, because Jesus is my number one. And that's a decision that we need to make, you guys. And the last thing that I have to say with regards to leadership is, there's going to be a time where the enemy wants you offended with your friends or with leadership. Then it's really important to say that we're going to have to choose that as we can recognize their hearts, we're going to recognize their faults. So we're going to recognize faults. We have to choose to recognize their hearts and just honor and celebrate who they are. Because it's super easy to see the faults of somebody. But it takes somebody with a heart for the Lord to say, God, I'm choosing to see their heart. Because guess what? The people under you, tomorrow, when you're the head of a department or you're a family or you're leading a group to a mission or whatever, you're going to want them to not look at your faults, but look at your heart and see, sure, I know they struggle with business, but their heart, they are laying down their lives for the sheep. So you guys, the Lord's heart is for family. The last scripture is just Hebrews 10:25. It's 24 and 25, he says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and food works. That'd be great. It should be a G, but it's close to, but we like food. Okay. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the day, the more as you see the day drawing near, approaching. So you guys, it's not a cute suggestion that God says to meet up like this, to meet up in small groups, to meet up in praise and worship outreaches. He says, like, consider one another. When you're busy cooking, like, consider, is there somebody I know that I could bless with this, Holy Spirit? Would you tell me? Like, when you are busy, you are like, maybe you're grown up and you've got a garden, maybe you're picking a flower and you're like, Lord, is there somebody that I can take this to, would bring such encouragement towards? The whole time we have the option of saying, Holy Spirit, what will bless the body now? What is the need of someone else? God's heart's desire is to meet incredible needs through you. So that when you're done with handing over that flower, that scripture, or just the prayer, or just the phone call, that they say, yo, Jesus truly is alive. Last night, 11:30, you can come check my WhatsApp to check if I'm lying or not. 11:30, 11:45, one of my aunts, she's my good friend, she's in her 60s, we see each other like 3 times a year, I don't see her all the time. So I'm lying in my bed and she just pops into my head and I send her a message and I say like, hey, my favorite, best, the coolest, the awesomest auntie, I just want to say I love you, you're precious, XXX, like something like that. In that moment she replies, she says, Mariette, I cannot believe that you message me now. I'm feeling really sick. I'm really nauseous. I'm not feeling well. And I'm like, I'm going to start praying for you now. So I fervently start to pray for her. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit just helped me. I just keep on praying and I pray. And I can feel the Lord's presence while I'm like in the bed and just praying for her. Message another one. How are you feeling? I think she went to bed. So the next morning, this morning, I get a message from her saying, Mariette, a little while ago I felt like this. And they had to take me to hospital. I was on a drip. But this morning I am fine. Thank you that you listened to God to message to me. So this woman is so blessed because she knows what happened a few weeks ago when she had exactly the same feeling. And she knows that it's God. So you guys, the Holy Spirit has this desire. You guys can stand with me and the band can come to the top again. The Lord has this desire to fish for men the whole time through you. Whether it's a little message that he's sending and whether it's a big fat basket with food that you're taking, God's heart's desire is to, through us, fish for men. And the enemy says, no, but you're busy. First do your washing. First do your degree. First finish watching this series. Somebody else's need, they can just wait. But God has this desire for you and me to scream and shout for joy because God is building his house, his perfect work through these instruments that is us. So let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we just want to come to you, Father, and we say that thank you that Jesus tore the veil. Thank you that reconciliation is an option because of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Holy Spirit for us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you desire, Father, through us to do miracles, to do healings, to lead people to Christ, Father. And today you're not saying, who's cute? Who's amazing? Who's in church for a long time? You're just asking, who is willing to follow me and to start fishing for men? Thank you, Father, that you died for the body of Christ, Lord. Thank you that you don't expect of us to do stuff on our own at all. Thank you that this is not a single race, God, but it's this group, Lord, running. And even if we are not cheering each other on, you say in your word, in the spirit, there's a cloud of witnesses cheering us on. The angels are cheering. Paul and those people are cheering, saying, come on, don't be distracted. God, you want to perform miracles through these people in this town, now, today. Not tomorrow, not the day after that, not other people. You asking us in this hall tonight, who is willing? Who is willing for full-time ministry? Who is willing, in other words, for salvation? Who is willing to follow me? For I am Jesus, and if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Father, our heart's desire, Lord, is to see you so we can follow you, Lord. And we need you to open up our eyes, otherwise we can't see you, Father. And we can't follow you. And thank you that you are not a condemning God, but you are excited, Lord, for us tonight. Then tonight, while I'm going to give an opportunity for you to respond, Lord, guys, in your heart towards the Lord, it's not about responding tonight. Even though there's a physical shift when you lift up your hand for Jesus, or when you take a step forward, like there's a shift in the spirit. But you guys, I felt it clearly earlier this afternoon, and then Alistair, your pastor, prayed for me. I heard he said the same thing. We're asking tonight, who wants a shift of their heart and of their lifestyle to fully surrender everything to God and say, God, I'm ready for adventure and kingdom to come every moment of the day, whether I'm studying for a test or just finished writing one, whether I'm on my way for bread and milk or not. I want you to tell me, where's the back pain in the, is it the woman at the till and Pick and Pay? Can I just ask and then pray for, lay hands and it's healed? God, every moment of every day, I want this life of mine. I want it to be yours, and you must know this. And I'm willing. So if you are here tonight and you just realize that you are not yet at that place where your heart beats, your heart gets excited to fish for men, in whichever capacity, you guys, we've got different gifts, but God says you will know in your heart if you are running with those gifts to fish for men. So tonight, while every eye is closed, if you're standing here and you realize, Lord, I'm not yet in that place where my heart is burning to fish for men, where my eyes are open and excited to fish for men, where I meet new people and I think, oh my word, I'm going to connect with you, get your number and invite you into my life, invite you into the godly community, invite you into Jesus. If you're not at that place and you want to get there, you want to repent tonight for just looking at yourself instead of the things around you, the world around you, I want you to be bold and decide now in your heart, do you want to go for this? Do you want to say yes to God's grace to grow you to that place? But it is going to cost you something. Sometimes it's going to cost money. Sometimes it's going to cost time. Sometimes it's going to cost being really tired and gone places, somebody on your heart. But you get in your car, you drive, and you say, friend, you're not alone. I will pray for you in this time, whether it suits me or not. So if you, I want you to count the cost right now in your heart. If you really want to say, God, I want to flat out follow and live for Jesus and fish for men, I want you to stick up your hand to God and say, yes, Lord, that's me. Thank you for those hands. If there's anybody else here that wants to say, Lord, I want to commit to laying it down and I need your grace to teach me how to do this, will you please raise your hands? Thank you. If you've raised your hands, you can lower them again. Then there's another group of people. We want to pray for each other because we need to be activated. Maybe you believe in Jesus and you're excited, you know, about the truth. But if you're standing here and you heard what I said earlier about believing in Jesus, but not yet being at a place where he's the Lord and the Savior of your life, I want to give you an opportunity like that awesome woman that I will only meet in heaven one day gave to me when I was in grade 8. So if you are here tonight and you want to say, Jesus, I don't just want to believe in you. I want to surrender my life and you need to become the Lord of my life. Will you please raise your hand? Anybody like that? Anybody that wants to say, Jesus, I want to come to that place of surrendering my life while every believer is praying. If there's any, oh, thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. If there's anybody else here that for the first time you want to say, Jesus, I want to surrender everything. It's cool to believe in you, but God, I need you to become my Lord and my Savior. Last opportunity. Anybody that wants to raise their hand, wants to make that commitment towards God. Thank you for those hands. The heavens are rejoicing. Like God says, if one turns to me, there's a big party. So you guys, right now, we are just saying hallelujah to God, for the heavens are rejoicing because of reconciliation. This is why Jesus came, is for reconciliation. So I'm going to ask you guys to be excited about who Jesus is and be excited about the privilege to choose Him, the privilege to lay down your life. And I want you to come to the front, everybody that raised their hands, and all the facilitators, you're going to come as well. We're going to pray with you tonight. You guys can come to the front. Let's just give a clap for God, a round of applause. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We're waiting here in front. Thank you, thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. You can come stand right here in front. We can just make a line facing towards there. You guys responding, you can just come to the front. Can come closer, closer. Okay, can I ask the facilitators, anybody that that's comfortable to just pray for people? Will you please come to the front? We're going to pray and lay hands on people. If you could just be so kind to be patient with us, we'd love to pray and trust God for a word for each one of you. You are precious to God. So let us close our eyes. Let us pray. I'm going to pray and you can pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, you guys, we're going to pray like aloud, because something shifts in the spirit when we declare with our mouth what we believe in our heart. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we say, Father, we want to follow Jesus on your terms, on the Bible's terms. Jesus, we want to follow you with our whole hearts and we want to fish for men. We're sorry, God, that we've only been focused on our needs and our wants. But Lord, thank you for your word that says, if we seek first the kingdom, you will sort out all those things. You will provide. So Lord Jesus, thank you that you receive our repentance. And that tonight we can receive grace by the blood of Jesus, to start following you with our eyes on the fish, with our eyes on the sheep, with our eyes on our booties and our sissies, with our eyes on booties and sissies to be. Thank you for everybody that you're going to heal through our prayers. Thank you for everybody that you're going to encourage through our words. Thank you for salvation through our obedience. We love you, Lord. And you love us. Thank you that you're very excited about us, about me, about the adventures that lie ahead. My life is yours. Let the kingdom come. Let the kingdom of heaven come. In Jesus' name, amen.